Okay, hello everyone. Hope you're doing well. Very exciting topic today. We're going to be talking about the International Dateline. International Dateline, for those who don't know, is an imaginary line. Not you, Flavia, don't worry. Is an international line in the middle. I didn't say your name. An imaginary line in the middle of the ocean, basically telling you what day is today and what day is tomorrow, basically, right? So let's just imagine this for a second. You're going across the world. You're going from, in this map, from China to the United States. This black line is the international date line. Black line, yes, everyone sees? Black line is the international date line. If it is Thursday here and you cross the international date line, it will be Friday going west. Going westward, eastward. They're going to cross over into a later day. And if you cross this way, it's going to be the day before. Yes? Leigh, you look confused.
So in Japan, it's Friday. It'll be Thursday in the United States. It's one day earlier.
Thank you for correcting me. So I already wrote it wrong. Okay, cool. If it's Friday here, I'm confused. Someone look up right now what time it is in Australia. Okay, so it's the opposite. Okay, so as you cross over the day line, you're going to go east. As you go westward, it's a day ahead. As you go eastward, it's going to be a day behind. So as you're going, right? Oh, yes, it's okay. As it gets earlier, it's going to get earlier. Problem is at a certain point, right? If you go from New York to LA, you're going how many hours earlier? Forget flights and whatever. How much earlier is it now? 3 hours earlier in LA. If you keep going and you divide by latitude, longitude, at some point it's going to be, you're going to get so early, you're going to be 4 days behind. You can keep going around the world. At what point does we just say, okay, it stops getting earlier? Because otherwise, if you just say it gets earlier, you're going to get back to your original point. You're like, okay, so, but where's the point? So everyone has an international line. The world has an international line. That basically says, this is when the new day starts. Yes, we're all on the same page. Sorry for the confusion at the beginning. Yes? Yes? Okay. So, problem is, that was a lot of is. What is the halachic dateline? Meaning, what day, what line, imaginary or non-imaginary, it's going to be imaginary, do we say is the splitting line, therefore, stuff on this side is Shabbat, stuff on this side, not Shabbat. Stuff on this side, Erev Yom Kippur, where mitzvah to eat. Stuff on this side, Yom Kippur, do not eat. Right? Pesach, don't have chametz. Not Pesach, eat all the chametz you want. Chametz party, right? Those are like the most important days, right? Obviously, random Tuesday doesn't really matter. But more important on the days that really matter, like Shabbos, like a Yontif. Yes, we're all on the same page? Yes? You look like you have a question.
I don't have a question.
Okay. So, let us first explain how different opinions, there's a lot of different opinions out there. We're going to take the most popular opinions of the International Dateline. Okay. So, International Dateline is as follows. The first one is the Bala Mor or the Chazon Ish. They say that it runs down the line of 90 degrees east of Jerusalem. Jerusalem, if you create a line through Jerusalem, it's right here. That is on the, it runs through Temple Mount, Har HaBayit, is on the 35.2 east longitude. Okay? That's the Yerushalayim line. So the Chazon Ish says that the International Dateline should be 90 degrees east of the International Dateline. So Chazon Ish is going to be this blue line. That is 125 degrees east. The basis for this is basically a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah that says as follows. When it talks about making Rosh Chodesh, making the new month, it says, for the Beit Din has until midday to create Rosh Chodesh for that month, because if you see the Nolad, if you see the brand new moon, you have to announce Rosh Hashanah. Problem is that after midday, your Rosh Hashanah is going to be the next day. So why is that? The reason is because if you want to retroactively say today is Rosh Chodesh, right? If today is Rosh Chodesh, it is Rosh Chodesh. If today is Rosh Chodesh, it's a second day though, so whatever. If today is Rosh Chodesh, so we only have until midday, let's assume 12 o'clock, a perfect day, 6 to 6. Meaning six sunrise to sunset is 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. So the Jewish day would be 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. the next 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. the following day. It's a perfect 24-hour day, 12-hour day, exactly. So if you want to retroactively make today Rosh Chodesh in the middle of the day, so what you need to do is you need to say that it is the day is starting somewhere in the world. So if it is 12 o'clock p.m. in Yerushalayim, right? So on a perfect day, 6 to 6 p.m., 12 o'clock p.m. is 18 hours into the Jewish day, right? 6 to 6 p.m. starts the Jewish day at sunset. Till 6 a.m. the next day is 12 hours, plus another 6 to get to 12 is 18 hours. Yes, we're all on the same page. I know that was a lot of mental math. You good? Okay. No, you're not good? I can explain it really easily. 6 p.m. is sunset. 6 p.m. is sunset, yes?
No.
So 6 p.m. to 6 a.m. the next day is 12 hours, plus another 6 to get to noon is 18 hours. So noon, Yerushalayim time, 18 hours into the day. So how many hours left of a day are there? 24 hours in a day? 6 hours left. So 6 hours left. So basically he says that each 15 degrees longitude is an hour, basically. Each hour is 15 degrees. So 15 times 6, 90 degrees. Perfect. Thank you, Daniel. And 90 degrees brings you to the Chazon Ish line, right? 90 degrees east of Jerusalem. So that way, that's basically the last time. It's still going to be the day's time still when 12 p.m. in Yerushalayim. Yes? We're all following? No, you look confused. Because if you want to retroactively say today is Rosh Chodesh, the Gemara says that it still needs to be, the day needs to be starting somewhere. So, yeah. Yeah, somewhere in the world.
Starting somewhere?
Yeah. So if 12 p.m., so still is going to be, it needs to be before midday. But not starting, it needs to be before midday, right? Because you have to announce Rosh Hashanah before midday. So it needs to be before midday, somewhere in the, guess? Okay. So that's how he gets this. And he says, he proves it, it's called Kitzei HaMizrach. That says that really it's like the edge of the eastern, meaning the eastern time. Okay. The next one is Rav Yechiel Michal Tukhachinsky. He has this purple line over here that cuts through Alaska. That is 180 degrees. I have to. That is 180 degrees of east of Yerushalayim. And that one lies at the 145 degree west longitude. Now, the reason for that, he says, is if Yerushalayim is the middle of the world, and there's a pasuk in Yechezkel, a verse in Ezekiel that says that Eretz Yisrael, Israel, Yerushalayim is the Tabur Haaretz, roughly translated as either center of the world or stomach of the world. So therefore, since Yerushalayim is the middle, so the prime meridian, so to speak, is not in Greenwich, England, but rather is Yerushalayim. Therefore, the anti-meridian, the opposite of this main line going through Yerushalayim, has to be the opposite. So if you opposite it, the opposite is 180 degrees, right? Because 180 plus 180 is, which gives you a circle, which means that you've gone around the whole globe. So good job, Leah. Yes. So, yeah, you got your shout out. So it has to be halfway there, meaning halfway opposite of it, which is 180 degrees. That's how Rav Yechiel Michal Tukhachinsky gets his. So he says that one of the problems with the Chazon Ish's 90 degree line is you have this weird split up of the world of 90 degrees east and then 270 degrees west. Or rather, probably better on this map that I connected two things together, So you have 90 degrees until the Chazon Ish line, and then 270 degrees this way. So that is just a weird way to split up. And he proves it from a Gemara in Yerushalmi that basically says that there are 365 like windows of the world, which he basically says that there are 365 degrees in the thing, right? 360, okay, whatever, 365. And he splits it up and he says it's supposed to be 182 and 182 on either side of the meridian. So whatever the meridian is supposed to be. Chazon Ish doesn't have that. Rav Michal Tukachinsky does have that 182 on either side to make it even. Questions, comments, concerns? I know there's a lot of information and it's a little bit complicated. Everyone's good.
Why does it have to be even?
Well, that's what he says, is that it should be even, especially when you're talking about the center of the world. Center of the world is Yerushalayim in Israel. Why would you have the center of the world be China? Okay. So, he also says that one of the Rav Michal Tukachinsky says one of the problems with Chazon Ish's thing is that it runs through several land masses. It runs through all of Russia. It runs through Russia, China, the Philippines, Indonesia, and Australia. And he says this is a little ridiculous because if you look at the 90 degree line, it splits up the Dongfeng Street in Chongqing, China, which means that on the eastern side of this street, you would be saying Kiddush, and on the western side of this street, you would be saying Havdalah. It makes no sense that you could cross the street, say Kiddush, and be like, okay, I'm done with Shabbos, go say Havdalah. It just can't be that you could just cross the street and just be done with Shabbos. So that is the problem that he says. And he says he avoids that. And then Rav Yechiel Michal Tukhachinsky and the Chazon Ish have this back and forth where they write angry letters to each other, not so angry, whatever, passionate letters about the disagreement of where this line exactly should be. So the Chazon Ish says back to Rav Tukhachinsky, okay, it's really nice to say 182 and 182, right, on either side, but I don't have a middle. Like, you keep talking about this Israel middle of the world thing, and therefore you need an anti-meridian, right, because you have the meridian. He says, we don't have a middle. There's no middle. It's just, this is where the line falls out. So there's no east or west. There's no like that. Also, he says, is that, like it shows in this picture, that you see half of Australia blue and the eastern part of China and Australia blue. Basically, what he says is it's going to this line, just like the international date line that curves around some random political islands, because one right country switch all the time. That one time they want to American Samoa decides to, that they're closer in, or what is it? Not American Samoa. Samoa decided, or Kiribati decided one time that it was closer. It was on the western side. Then they decided they're doing more commerce with China and the East, therefore they want to be on the eastern side. So they curved this line right here, this really awkward part, is just for that one set of islands who decided they're closer in commerce to China and the East rather than the West. So we can't really go by that. But the Chazon Ish says basically it's going to curve around the continent to avoid your Dongfeng Street in China where you're saying Kiddush on one side of the street and Havdalah on the other side of the street. So it's going to go to the edge of the landmass. Yep. Not really, because the civil date line is this black one, whereas both the blue one. But look, you have Japan, you have whatever island this is. What is that? What? No, this is the Philippines, Indonesia. I don't know what countries these are. But then you have New Zealand, you have Tasmania, you have all these reds that are going to fall out on the opposite side of the date, are going to be on the Friday side of Chazon Ish line. But to the Shabbos side of Rav Tukachinsky's line. Yes? You see these two lines, the purple and the blue? So the countries in the center are going to be the problem ones. And Hawaii. Hawaii is a big problem. We'll talk to you in a second. Okay, so I know I'm standing. It's getting very exciting. So the Chazon Ish also says that the ocean is at, like, middle of the ocean line is not a good solution because when it says Kitsei Ha'arda, Kitsei HaMizrach, the edge of the east, it makes sense to make it the edge of a landmass, meaning when you leave the landmass, that's when the next day starts. Not like I cross over an imaginary line in the ocean, oh, I'm on one side of the boat, now I'm on the other side of the boat. Like,
You can't really do that at the end of a landmass. Like, once you leave the landmass, you're now in the next day. So, the Chazon Ish's line is, as soon as you leave the Australian coast, as soon as you leave the Russian coast, that's it. You're in international waters, not even international waters. As soon as you're in the water, it's now the next day, or the previous day, because you're going this way. Yes, we're all on the same page? Yes? Yes? Yeah. Okay. So, the next opinion is of Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, who says that the line is actually the international date line, because if you, and this is agreed on by Rav Isser Zalman Meltzer, as along with apparently Rav Moshe Feinstein, who says that Shabbos was given to individuals to be a sign for you. That's what it says in the Torah. If that's the case, and the Gemara in Shabbos is supportive of this, it basically says that if you're in the desert and you have no idea what day it is, you're dropped in the desert, you were unconscious for 5 days, and you're alone in the desert, and you have no way of telling what day it is, so you just count 6 days, and then you're Mekadesh Shabbos, you sanctify Shabbos, and that's your Shabbos. Then you count another 6 days, and then you're Shabbos the next day. Right? Yes? We're all on the same page? Mm-hmm. So he says, if that's the case, so what the international community decides, which day is after we count six and which day we count seven, so that's going to be the general line for the world as well. And he says, on top of that, you have the Gemara, Rambam, and the Shulchan Aruch, who never discuss an international date line. That's pretty, I think that's pretty good. However, there is an unknown opinion of Rav Tumim Rabinovich, who says that Kitzei HaMizrach, the eastern edge, is the Bering Strait. The Bering Strait is this green line, that's the mid-Pacific postgame. So this green line that runs basically this tiny landmass, it's basically the eastern edge of Russia, and just goes straight down. So that will hit the Bering Strait, right? There's that 2 mile, what is it? Like, that's our Palin always said, she could see her house from Russia from her house. What is it, like 2 mile? How big is Bering Strait? Well, it's very, very small. It's walkable. Like, if there was a sheet of ice there, you'd be able to walk it. It's very short, but so they say that that's the international date line right at the edge of Russia. And again, this is going to matter the most for these red countries. New Zealand, Tasmania, Japan, Guam, Fiji, Samoas, Kiribati, and Hawaii. Okay, so just to go quickly for the most modern, like the people that we might know of, Rav Chaim Kanievsky says, Me'ikar Adin, really essentially, the Chazon Ish line is the line that we should be following. Again, taking into consideration the eastern edge of each of these continents. However, you should be careful not to do malacha on Shabbat on the day that Rav Tukachinsky says is Shabbos. So you should look at Rav Tukachinsky's line as well and say, and if I'm in any of these locations between the Chazon Ish and Rav Tukachinsky's line, I should be careful, which is basically the day and a half in Israel, if you ever kept a day and a half in Israel for the second day of Yom Tov, which is you don't do any of the Doraitas, anything from the Torah, you have to be careful not to do. So you would say on whatever day is Shabbos, according to the Chazon Ish, do Shabbos. If you're in a place that falls in between, be careful for Rav Yechiel Mechel Tukachinsky. Rav Willig in YU says, Mikar Hadin, really Rav Tukachinsky is correct, but you should be careful for the Chazon Ishes. So it's just the opposite day. So whether or not you're keeping Shabbos on Friday or on Sunday also. Rav Avadya Yosef says, he actually doesn't really say in Nabi Omer, he doesn't really talk about an international deadline. However, he later talks about it in his Shalos Tshuvos, and he says that really, even though really you should do the international deadline. However, he spoke to a rabbi and he said most Sephardim actually do like Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, which was. Which is an international dateline. And he says that the Gemara and Shabbos... Okay, so then we talk about the Gemara and Shabbos. Gemara and Shabbos basically says as follows. That he praises people who started Shabbos in Tveria. Tveria is at a very low point. and who end Shabbos in Tzipori, which is up on a hill. So you have Tveria on in a valley, Tzipori up on a hill. When you're looking at the sunset, so the sunset is basically relative. If you look at Shabbos times, and you know, I always speak to my grandmother who's out on Long Island. It's like 30 miles from here, and Brooklyn, we're fairly south from like Long Island, the rest of Long Island kind of tips up. So my grandmother says, "What time Shabbos start?" I said, "Well, I can tell you what time Shabbos is here is Brooklyn, but it's going to be 3 minutes off or so, depending on where you are, from where you are, Grandma. So like, don't count on what I'm telling you." So the people in Tzipori up on the hill, which start Shabbos later, because they could still see the sun, right? The sun setting is really when it sets below the horizon. So the people who are in a valley see the sunset pretty fast because you're at the horizon line. People who are up on a hill can still see down, will still see the sun. So they praise people who started Shabbos in Tveria, meaning started earlier, and ended Shabbos up in Tzipori, meaning ended later. However, they said that if you are in Tveria when Shabbos starts and planning on going back to Tzipori, going back up the hill during Shabbat, so you start Shabbat not where you live, meaning up on Tzipori, but down in Tveria, meaning you're starting Shabbos earlier. And then when you go back to Tzipori, you can't say, well, Shabbos was 25 hours and I started Shabbos earlier, so therefore I'm going to finish it earlier. If you're finishing it in Tzipori, you have to finish Shabbos when they see, which is going to be a little bit later. Yes?
We're all on the same page?
So, according to this, again, it's going to be the same thing with the international date line. If you are on one side of the line when Shabbos starts and on the other side of the line when Shabbos ends, meaning it gets into a little bit of a hard process. So we have to do as follows. For the days, so a lot of Rabbanim, so let me just say this quickly. My Rebbe, Rav Baruch Simon, who may or may not be by associative property, all of your rabbis, because he basically gives psak to me, Rabbi Boshnak, and Rabbi Tokayer, who's the rabbi in Kingsway Jewish Center. So he's giving psak to a lot of different rabbis here in Brooklyn. And so any question that you answered, like halachic questions, any questions that you have that I basically am saying I'm talking to my Rebbe, it's usually him. If not, it's Rabbi Ari Leibowitz. And so therefore, he's basically the default for a lot of you and probably a lot of people that you know, because also Rabbi Boshnak before me also holds by him. He holds unequivocally by this mid-Pacific line, which is this green line in between. However, during COVID, when he started moving his shirim on Zoom, there was one guy who was always in Hawaii, and he would always start off shir with, "Oh, this guy, how are you doing in Hawaii? What day do you keep Shabbos?" So it's a real question about what day you should keep Shabbos on if you're in between basically these lines. So many, many people recommend do not go there during Sefirat HaOmer. Do not go there during, because you don't know what day you're supposed to count. Many people say do not go there on Yom Kippur or first day of Pesach. So that way it's pretty confusing. Also, and then Shabbat, so many poskim will say don't travel Shabbat there. Other people say, well, this is a major commerce center. You can't just stop and say, well, we're not going to go to Shabbat there anymore, so don't worry about it. So many people say you should do what's local there, but again, be careful about the other opinions that may be right, and therefore you might be doing melacha on Shabbos, and you might get into a careful, a hard problem. So just one more second. Crossing the date line. If you are crossing over the date line into tomorrow, meaning if you are flying from LA to Australia, let's assume, right? That's what we said, is the next day, right, following day. If you're crossing from LA to Australia, is that followed? No. Yes.
Maybe.
Isn't it the other way around? This way is getting earlier. So there
from
would
Australia
be
to LA.
Tomorrow. What? Into the line, yes. Okay, fine. So, you're going from LA to Australia. You're going from LA to Australia, right? So, a guy puts on tefillin in the morning, right? And then he crosses the international date line, and it's now tomorrow. So, all your day obligations for today stop, and you're now in tomorrow's obligations. However, it gets much more confusing if you have to redo today's obligations. Meaning, if I put on tefillin in Australia, now I'm crossing into yesterday. So now what do I do?
You still need to put on.
So now it's a question, because I put on tefillin yesterday, really. Did I But, like, what's today's date considered? So going into yesterday is really confused, much harder than going into tomorrow. Because we know what it's what it means to go. So... What? Well, the question is like, what does it mean? Like, if I put on tefillin in Australia, and I was in Australia for 2 weeks, and I put on tefillin that morning. Now I'm crossing into L.A. So now I'm going backwards in time, basically.
If you made a bracha, it would be like a bracha.
Yeah, but now it's a new day. No, so is it a new day that's going back on yesterday?
No, it's not bracha l'atala because he's going into a new day.
But is it a new day that was already yesterday?
It's October 16th. October 16th or back to October 15th or to October 17th.
No, so you're going backwards, meaning you're going into yesterday, meaning
into October 15th.
He should count from where he came from.
But the question is now, let's say I already davened Maariv, right? I'm putting on tefillin already. It's okay. October 16th. Okay. It is Monday, October 16th in Australia.
Okay.
So, I mean, let's do it a bit better. It is now Tuesday, October 17th in Australia. Someone who davened Shachari already. Someone davened morning prayers already in Australia on Tuesday. They crossed, they've been there for 2 weeks, meaning they davened Maariv night prayers yesterday. They crossed back into LA. It is now Monday, October 16th. Are they now obligated in prayer for Monday, October 16th? Or did they already do that obligation? It's very confusing. I don't know that there's a real answer. Right, so what are you supposed to do on the plane? What are you supposed to pray? So, in terms of fast days, if you're traveling to Israel, hold on. If you're traveling from here to Israel, and you look at the fast day, those are also very confusing. You're supposed, if it starts or ends while you're on the flight, there are flight maps that say basically at what time you're flying over what place, and you're basically doing local time, which is what you'll end up doing. Problem is once you cross the date line, things get really messy. So, my Rebbe always advises, don't go on Shabbos. Don't go during Sfirat HaOmer. Don't go for women who have to go to the mikvah. Don't go if you have to count anything significant. Don't go for a bar mitzvah. Don't go, like all those things that are like actually significant.
Why can't
don't
you
go? Go because then you don't know if you're actually bar mitzvah or not because it's if you're a day late. Meaning if today is your bar mitzvah, right? If your bar mitzvah today, if you cross a date line that may be wrong and therefore you're still on yesterday, this person didn't get bar mitzvah yet. And they would not be able to lead services, to read from the Torah, get an aliyah, etc. If it is actually tomorrow, and it's actually their bar mitzvah, then they could. It's very confusing and a lot of different moving parts. Oh, yeah. So my Rebbe basically says, in between these lines, you got to be very, very careful. So, New Zealand, whatever country this is, someone find out for me, please. Japan, Korea's, Hawaii, specifically. The red countries in this map. You have to be very careful about because they're in between these two day lines. What's this one? Papua New Guinea. Okay, very good. Someone please risk. Okay. Questions, comments, concerns. Daniel went to Hawaii. What were you going to tell us?
I mean, I did what you said, the Doraisas.
You did the, okay, so you didn't do the Doraisas.
No, yeah. I just have a question.
On which day? Friday or Sunday?
On Friday.
So you're holding like Rev Tukachinsky?
Yeah.
Saying that once you crossed... Because everyone else is on this side of the line. Meaning everyone else agrees that Hawaii is on the same day as Shabbos, except for Rav Tukachinsky, who says it's on the other side of the day line. Look at the here.
We did like the regular Saturday. Whatever Saturday was in Hawaii, that's the day we kept Shabbos.
And correct. So let's just do this. There's a map here. This is very Sarkay has an amazing map here. It says as follows. In your Shalayim, it is 10 p.m. on Friday. You're making Kiddush at 10 p.m. Okay, it's very late on Sukkot Torah night. Okay, you're making Kiddush in Yerushalayim. It is now in Hawaii, 10 a.m. on Friday, according to everyone except for Rav Tukachinsky. Everyone says that Yerushalayim is here, so Shav is here. Everyone says Friday here, except for Rav Tukachinsky says it's on this side, meaning everything here is Shabbos. So you were holding like Rav Tukachinsky saying that really Hawaii is the day ahead of everyone else. No, you held on Friday. So you held that on Shabbos. Chazanish. Or any one of these. You held like any one of these really.
Right.
And you were then, yes, what?
Nothing, I'm so happy to be a girl.
Yeah.
Well, you have to keep Shabbos.
No, I know, but I'm saying like not like the nitty gritty. Like, do
Right, the Daven again, Tefillin, blah,
blah, blah. Yeah, but you still have to worry about Sefirot HaOmer. Well, so not as much. You shouldn't go there for a Yontif. Shabbos is very confusing, yes. The international dayline, yeah. So I'd be really interested to ask my Rebbe about the Kiribati, where they all of a sudden said, like, okay, today, Kiribati, it's this one country right here where the dateline juts out really weirdly. Like, it's mostly straight, yes, it avoids, but then it goes really weird here. Basically, the way that I forgot when it was, someone could look it up, is they were originally, everyone said they were close in to the west in commerce, and then one day they were just like, we do most of our commerce with China, with Japan, whatever. We want to be part of the like European side, so they have to move the international date line so that we can be back on their side. So one day they woke up and skipped an entire day. Actually, like, you know how like we have like what's called daylight savings, where like skip an hour. Like, they skipped an entire day. Like, they woke up on a Monday morning and they said it's actually Tuesday. It's a conversion day. Conversion day. Right? They woke up on a Monday and said, go to your Tuesday classes. It's Tuesday today. And then that just stayed. So, like, they're back one day. They're missing one day for Kiribati. I'd be interested. Don't go to Kiribati. I'd be interested to know, like, what the halakha is specific for Kiribati. What those who said the international dateline should hold. So, a lot of people will say, well, what about Chabad? People, there are Jews everywhere in the world. People go everywhere for commerce. Why do is one plate, like, why can't I just hold whatever they hold? The answer is it's really nice to say, okay, well, we hold today as Shabbos, but that means that they're holding like the international dateline potentially, right? If you hold something else, meaning if in the end of the day you find out that the Chazon Ish is really right, so then you're screwed, because then you're just in Malacha on Shabbos. If you hold that the Rav Tkachinsky is right, then you did Malacha on Shabbos, just the opposite way, Friday or Sunday. So you just have to be very careful with these places. Like, it's really not... I just like, and this is my small push in general for halachic observance, especially when you're traveling, is it's really nice that Chabad tells you what to do, but you have to do your own research to say, like, is this actually what I hold, or am I don't know what's happening, and therefore I'm just going there. Obviously, like, always, if you're traveling and there's ever issues, always feel free to call, not on Shabbos, and if you're in these places, maybe we don't know what day Shabbos is. Other questions, comments, concerns? You had a question?
Actually, I was saying that if you're going from one place to another,
yeah,
and let's say it was like you said that there was time was in Marv, and then now it's then was the next day you said,
yeah.
So then they should just if you made Dav in Marv and you're going to Marv again, then you should just hold what the next day what that place is, that makom, it goes by the makom. If it's not, if it's the next day,
is that then once you should cross the line. So then it gets a little... It
depends. But you should still dial in whatever the makom is. It's just by the makom.
But it depends what you hold the dateline is, meaning everyone else is saying that it's now...
But when you're going from New York to Israel, you're not saying, oh, in New York, it's this and this time. So
correct,
this.
But you have to do it based... So that's the thing is, you never... When you daven on a plane in Israel, you're never davening... You're not count... Like, let's say you lift off at 5 a.m. You know you want to daven at 8 a.m. You're not counting 3 hours into your flight and saying, this is when I'm davening. You have to look where you are over to make sure that it's still time to be able to... Uh-huh. To say Shachri. The last thing I'll say is it's much easier to when you're flying on Shabbos. You should avoid flying on Shabbos on any day. Meaning, if you're crossing a date line after Shabbos, you should still be careful. However, they do say that it's much easier to fly back into Shabbos once you've already completed Shabbos than flying not.
Then you're supposed to keep Shabbos, Shabbos
into a Shabbos. If you've already kept a Shabbos and you're crossing a date line, it's a little bit easier to resolve. Then first off, flying into a Shabbos when you haven't kept a Shabbos.
LA Saturday night.
Yeah, so it's much easier once you've kept a Shabbos. Or it's a little bit easier, not much easier, a little bit easier to reconcile, but very, very complicated. You should avoid flying on Shabbos either direction. Other questions, comments, concerns? I'm happy to stay here and keep everyone, obviously, can feel free to move on to class. But I'll keep the recording on for questions to clarify. Yeah.
Yeah. Like you're at the
North Pole or the sun doesn't set. Okay, yeah. I was thinking about doing a topic. Should we do it for a different time, or you want to do it now quickly? So also big machlokes. I asked my Rebbe about it the same time I asked about the dateline, and he told me about the Barren Strait, and he basically said you should avoid going to those places because... Is it a question of does Shabbos really exist in Alaska when there's, forget even North Pole, you have Alaska where there are certain places that there's sunset, sunrise for, like the sun doesn't set. So the question is Shabbos really dependent on sun setting, or does Shabbos come regardless whether or not the sun sets and within whatever time Ki'ilu, like the next day, starts? Meaning, when we keep days, it's a 24-hour period consisting of a sunrise and a sunset, and we know when that 24-hour period is, whether or not we see the sunset. If you're in a place where the sun doesn't set, what does that do about our halachic obligations?
So then, if that's the case, then let's say you put on Torah on the Sunday morning, and then you flew over to the next day, right? And now the question is, do I have to make up all the tefillos that I missed? But like, if we're saying
no, if you skip a day,
let's say you skip a day,
then your day that everyone agrees that your day obligations for that day have ended because it's now the next day. The question is much harder when you're going back into a day where you've already fulfilled your obligations for the day. Meaning, I fulfilled Sunday night's requirements, and now I'm flying back, and it's Monday already for me. Now I'm flying back, and it's Sunday again for me, but I fulfilled my Sunday requirements. Is it like a brand new day that I haven't done anything? Or is it going back in time like that I've already done Sunday? So all my Sunday obligations are fine. So again, you could see how tricky this can get on a Yontif. Or on a Shabbos, where it's like, well, I've already done that already. Do I need to now do it again? Or is it a new day that I don't no longer need to do it because the obligation was just that I had done it already? Meaning, do I need to keep a 25-hour period of Shabbos, and therefore Shabbos is done? Or do I need to make sure that when I cross back into the next day, right? So you'd have a real Shaila. Let's go back to our original Gemara question of, you are now Tiberia and Tzipori. You finish Shabbos in Tiberia, and then you walk up to Tzipori on Motzei Shabbos, where they're still keeping Shabbos. It's the answer, I think, is that you would not have to keep another Shabbos because you've already ended Shabbos. Meaning, you shouldn't plan and say, I'm going to end Shabbos early and then walk up to Tzipori, right? Because Gemara says very, very much so that it praises people who start Shabbos earlier in Tiberia and end it later in Tzipori, meaning Shabbos is later. But you shouldn't say, like, okay, well, the plan is I'm going to stay here so I can end 30 minutes earlier and then go to Tzipori where they're still giving Shabbos and be like, hey, look, I got all the news in my phone and you don't, right? So you can't do that. So, because it's not going to be Shabbos for you then. You don't go back into Shabbos just because you're in a day that doesn't have Shabbos. But the question is much stronger when you go back into a full day where you have a full couple of hours instead of a couple of minutes. Yeah, Flavia.
What do freight workers do? For example, like people who work on freight ships or pilots, like, they have to ask.
Well, that's why this is why it's really complicated with crossing lines, and that's why the Chazon Ish says it doesn't make sense to do it in the middle of an ocean. Because if you're in the middle of the ocean and you're just traveling, it doesn't make sense. If you're just ending the end of the continent, so then it's much better. And again, almost everyone will say you shouldn't travel on Shabbat, or you shouldn't travel going into Shabbat, right? So if you're on a cruise ship, cruise ships are a huge question. If you're going to be on Shabbat and you're going into Hawaii or you're going into crossing the international date line on a Shabbat, on a cruise, is there still Shabbat? Everyone else is moving their clocks to Sunday. Are you supposed to keep Shabbat? Is this really what we're supposed to do? Have you crossed the Chazon Ish line? Have you crossed the mid-Pacific post-Kim line? Have you crossed the civil international date line? Or have you crossed Rav Kaczynski's line? And it's all going to depend on who you hold and what you hold and where you are in the world. So my Rebbe advises really not to, and then I keep pushing him and be like, well, someone wants to. What does someone do who actually wants to be there? Tell them not to do it, or we'll deal with it when it comes to it. So if any of you guys have travel upcoming into any of those places, please let me know, because then I can actually push my Rebbe on a real answer of like, what day should we do this? But I think in the end of the day, he'll probably say, in between the Rav Tukhachinsky line and the Chazon Ish line, you should keep... you should be choshesh for both opinions.
Don't forget that when you're in Israel, you keep one day versus outside, you keep two.
Yes, correct.
So if you're going from one country to another country, and the one keeps two.
Right, so everyone asks that. Everyone asks.
Why?
He circumnavigated. Okay, so here's a good question. So I don't know the answer, but I'll tell you that I saw one of the opinions that said that the Chazon Ish line, the 90 degrees east, one of the reasons he thinks that 90 degrees east should be the line is because 90 degrees goes to the end of the Asian continent. The end of the Asian continent was the end of the ancient world. They didn't know America existed. So to put it in the Bering Strait like the Mid-Pacific postgame, or to put it in Alaska like Rav Tukhachinsky at 180 across from Yerushalayim, line, it didn't exist. So how are you going to say that you're supposed to do 180 when the people in the ancient world were like, well, that's just blackness. Like, the international daylight doesn't exist because there's nothing there.
The thing is that he's saying, because they were wrong, let's follow their wrongness.
No, so Rav Tukhachinsky says, so you need to now consider the rest of the world. So he says, Chazon Ish says,
Tukhachinsky,
yeah. If you look at Ma'ariv Zmanim, by the way, you'll always see Rav Tukhachinsky's opinion. You'll always see it on, if you look at Ma'ariv Zmanim, any fast day, anything, you'll see like Rav Moshe and Rav Tukhachinsky. He's a big guy in Zmanim, so you'll see his name everywhere.
Rav Tukhachinsky's basically saying that the Gemara had wrong, and now it's
The Gemara doesn't say exactly what to do.
Because they didn't think there was such a thing as a circle, the world was a circle.
But you still need to say at what point the day ends.
No, it's obvious. The end of the world is when the day ends.
Not necessarily. No, not necessarily, because if Yerushalayim is 12, so what happens to the east? What happens to the west? It's not equal east and west. Look, if you have just this, if Yerushalayim is the middle, here, so you now have, like, up until here and up until here. Where does the day end? Where does the day end? This is the map of the world.
Yerushalayim
is that red line.
Did they know that anything was past Europe and Africa?
No.
No.
This didn't exist. So then, so this is, but this only goes a few hours.
I know, so that's what they thought, no?
No, I mean, they might have divided, I mean, they didn't
is
have
it
the...
Is possible that they thought that out of the whole world, so that wasn't even a question?
But that's why Chazon Ish makes sense. Where Chazon Ish is saying, my thing makes sense, the end of the East makes sense, because no one knew what else was past there. But Rav Tukhachinsky is saying, now that we know that the rest of the world exists, so now you have to say, you have to consider the rest of the world.
I know, but Rav Tukhachinsky is basically saying that in the olden days, they did not, we had a switch, basically.
Yes. But that's in general, we have opinions like that where we see that the world, that we have something new, and we realize something new, and we have to not change halacha, because halacha doesn't change, but we have to kind of say, like, maybe we have something else to consider here.
Right?
Right? Once we knew that incandescent bulbs are actually fire, and LEDs are not, so now we can be a little, right, and when it was just incandescents in the world, everyone in the world said, you're not allowed to do incandescents on Shabbos. You're not allowed to do lights on Shabbos. Now that we have LEDs, we can be a little bit more lenient with LEDs in the case of extreme need. You guys had a question?
Wait, we have LEDs? I didn't know this.
Yeah, LEDs are less of a problem. Still a problem, less of a problem. So we can, in extreme need, like, the LEDs are less of a problem than incandescent bulbs. Because incandescent bulbs are actual fire.
So why don't we just use LEDs for incandescent?
For what?
Anything like
most of the things in the world are LEDs right now.
Really?
Most lights are and are not incandescent, but just...
So one second, so what you said...
Hold on. Anyone else have any questions about this? Okay, I just want to stop the recording. Have a wonderful day, everyone.